a lot of pressure to give a sermon to round out a decade, you know? But as you all heard us last week know, I don't really worry about when it is or how it is. We are where God has us. And so for those of you who got to experience that super joyful Christmas message that I gave to you last week, you know, blessings on you. For those of you who haven't, I got the podcast put up yesterday. So it's out there if you want to go listen. But James kind of had a throwdown. We're in the book of James. That's where God has us. And it turned out to be perfect for us. I probably had more people Facebooking and quoting and throwing that one up there than I'd had in a while. But basically, he was really coming down on us, on people, for being rich and for oppressing others. And we were very clear. God's not angry with rich people. God's not angry with people who have lots of children and are blessed by that. God's not angry with people who have great marriages and are blessed like that. God's not angry with people who have lots of land and are blessed by that. God gets angry when we think for a minute that it's actually ours, and then we aren't willing to give it, to share it, to offer it to those who have needs. That's when he gets upset. See, people who lived in that culture did not understand, all right? They built their homes connected to every other home. And the way everything worked was the potato man gave everybody potatoes. And the tomato man gave everybody tomatoes. And the chip man gave everybody chips. And the salsa man gave everybody salsa. And people didn't understand it when the salsa guy hoarded the salsa. Because people had chips and everybody had chips, but only one guy had sauce. That's the way their culture worked. And they didn't understand anything different from that. And when you pass that down, nobody's asking us to all hold hands and live in one little commune. At the same time, the principles apply. When you have, give, all right? And if people were giving, all right, great things would happen. Poverty, hunger, clean drinking water would be available to everyone. And so the idea was, it is actually more blessed, it is more godly, it is right to give, all right, when we have. Now, as James has worked his way through there, he's been pretty, you know, straightforward with everything that he's been saying. We have found that James pulls no punches, and last week he was a little firm. And it helps for those of you who haven't been with us to understand that the people that he's preaching to were basically cast out of Jerusalem. So the church kind of formed and happened, and it, the Spirit came down and people were getting saved, and then the government struggled and people who weren't of that religion struggled, and arguments began to ensue, and pretty soon Christians were persecuted. And so they had to move to different places and plant other churches, and they weren't going to give up on the gospel. They just couldn't do it where they wanted to do it at home a lot of times. So they're spread all over the known world at that time. And James is a pastor in Jerusalem, and he's a calm and very wise man, and he's trying to help them out as they go out and give them all kinds of instruction. So last week, he kind of says, now some of you are acting like this, and he throws down on them. This week, he kind of jumps around a little bit. It's really, if you read it straight up after what I just told you, and you just read, it kind of seems random. Let me read it for you. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too must be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke to you in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count it as blessed, those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought out. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Now, it flows together fine when you're reading it and when you go, well, it's the Bible, so it's got to be right and true. But if we're honest, that kind of, James has an ADD moment, all right? Gets a little ADHD on us. He's like, warning to you rich people, by the way, think of the farmer, and when you do, think of the prophet, and when you do, don't swear. Yes! I mean, that's what we got there, right? Now, what you were hoping for, I'm sure, is your pastor up here. Well, let's just say that James... No! James got random. Let's just call it like it is. My job is to explain to you either why he got random or to lovingly say to you, when we all get to heaven, let's ask. Let's pray. But I'm not going to do that, all right? Because I do. I have some for you. Here's what he does. He realizes that he's coming down on the rich. But if you were here last week, you're going to remember this. I said, if you sit in this room and say, well, I'm not rich, and you ignore what I have to tell you, then you're going to miss what God has to say to you, all right? At the same time, this first part of this passage is the same, all right? If you are the rich, he switches to the oppressed. But here's what we find. In our lives, some days, in some ways, we are what? Blessed. Rich. Other days, in some ways, we feel empty and oppressed. So both of these words are for all of us in our different time of need. So here's what he says. He says, when the politicians, when the ruling class, when the religious right, when the people who stand and hoard their authority over you, because that's a lot of what was going on. You had religion versus legal. You had religious law versus this new faith and law in Jesus Christ, the love and grace of God. And they were all conflicting, and people were being stoned, and people were being hung, and people were being crucified, all of these things. And James says, all right, I came down on you, but listen, brothers and sisters. And then he says two words that none of us want to hear. He says, be patient. Well, you don't understand, James. How do we deal with all this? Be patient. Well, what if I don't want to be patient? Be patient. Well, what if I don't want to be patient? The minute that the universe revolves around your power and authority, the minute that you cause the sun to rise and to fade into the night, the minute that you cause the oceans to come in on the sand and go out on the sand, the minute that you can cause life or death to come at any moment, the minute time stands still because you tell it to, then you can stop being patient. Till then, be patient and wait on the one who can. Wait on the one who can. Why should I wait on him? Because those who wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. When you feel weak, you will be strong. Well, what's out there? I know the plans I have, plans to prosper and not to harm, plans to give you hope and a future. You are the greatest thing God ever did. You are the greatest thing God ever did. And he is saying, I'm here. There's no decade, there's no century, there's no minute, there's no hour, there's no bit of financial trouble, there's no bit of car trouble, there's no bit of work trouble, there's no bit of marital trouble, there's no bit of any of these troubles that I can bring to you that I didn't know about before they happened, won't know about after they happen. There is no surprise in my world. You be patient. Because I'm coming. Well, when? Let me just help you out with my theology here, church. Let me get deep on you. I have no clue. And there will never be a time when I teach the church about when Jesus is coming back. And people who do are wasting their breath. Here's what you need to know. Soon. How soon? Soon. How soon? You have no idea. Why? Because soon to God and soon to you are different. And that's why he says we need to look at the prophets. Do you know that Paul lived every day of his life as if the Lord was coming tomorrow? That's how Paul, the apostle, lived his life. God's coming back tomorrow. When you live your life as if Jesus is coming tomorrow, you live it differently. And James says, if we lived it that way, what would be different? Would our churches be different? Would our hearts be different? Would our lives be different? When we say Jesus is coming soon, the bottom line is it could be tomorrow. Look outside. If it's cloudy, we got a shot. The Bible says he's coming back on a cloud. So do we blow it off because we don't know the day or the hour? Absolutely not. He's coming soon. What does that mean to his people? It doesn't mean we have to guess the date. It means we have to act as if it is coming. That's the difference between talking about it, raising your hands about it, writing songs about it, and living like it's real. And that's why Paul says, look back at Abraham. Look back at Moses. Look back at Jacob. Look back at Joseph. These men lived their life chasing Christ before Christ came. They chased a powerful belief in not what was, but what was to be. And we have knowledge of that beautiful occurrence, and it is our job to tell the world about it. Well, Craig, I don't see anything happening. Folks, do you understand? When I became a pastor, when I got here, all right, when I got here, it is no secret that some of you didn't think this, but word on the street, all right, word on the street was that I had 6 months. 6 months. And you know what? They were right. I am a rambunctious, if you can't tell, wild child, okay, who doesn't look, talk, think, act, or dress like a good Southern Baptist. And Nicholasville Baptist was good old pew-sitting, politicking, voting Southern Baptistin. And it had a reputation. It had a reputation for eating preachers. Look, we can't run from our past if we don't acknowledge our past. I am preacher number 33. That doesn't count interims. Come on. I've been here 6 years. I'm number 4 on the making it a long time list. I mean, I'm history, man. 28 guys didn't make it this long, and I feel like I just got here. Really? But when I got here, I was like, man, surely. I mean, there was a time when I would preach to 25,000 people a year. There was a time when I could preach a sermon and 50, 60, 70, 100 people would come to the altar and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Come on. And you know, it's not easy to look back and see what God is doing some days and go, yeah, we grew. You know, 4 years ago, we grew by an average of about 40 people a week. 3 years ago, we grew by an average of like 20 people a week. 2 years ago, we grew by an average of 3 people a week. But we grew. Wouldn't it be fun to just see the pews full and then have to go to 2 services, and then before we could get to 2 services, have to go to 3 services? Wouldn't that be fun to know that the gospel was being presented, because there are barely 5,000 people in churches in Jessamine County today, and there are 25,000 people out there just in our city limits. Come on! We're not getting it done because we don't believe anymore that Christ could come tomorrow, that it may run out, that it may be over. Craig, how do I deal with this? You're telling me it's urgent, but it's saying be patient. All right. All right. All right. Good question. Be patient, brothers, until the Lord comes. Period. Next sentence. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield the crop. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield the crop. Waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. Autumn and the spring. So it's not talking about a single season. In this case, it's talking about the spring and the fall, a full year of harvesting and planting, of harvesting and planting. But what had to happen before the spring rains come to bring the crop? Somebody has to plant the seeds. If you're sitting around waiting for the rain and it comes and you look down and there's no crop, there's a question you need to ask yourself. Did I plant any seeds? I must now ask you a question. The pews are not full. Why? Because God's not bringing the harvest? Or because 3 of you, 5 of you, 7 of you, 50 of you are actually inviting someone to come? God's not going to bring any harvest unless the farmer what? Sows the seed. So in this you be diligent. In this you sow like there's no tomorrow. That is faith in God. You don't say, well, I'm going to wait for the... No! You sow. And you sow. And you sow. And when there's no harvest, you be patient. God will bring it in His time. It's when we stop sowing that the problem's on us. Be patient and stand firm. He's also talking to people who are oppressed. And in our culture today, many of you would say to yourselves, man, we're headed to hell in a handbasket. Nothing's going our way. Instagram's blowing up, Facebook's blowing up, CNN's blowing up, MSNBC's blowing up with how this is going to happen and that is going to happen and this mayor's going to call this down and then this city's going to do this and then these cities are going to do this and then this president's going to do this and then the Supreme Court's going to do this and oh, woe is to us, our way of life is going to be blown over. Stop it! And I'm going to tell you why. Because the minute our way of life, if we follow the Bible, is blown over, somebody beat Jesus. And that doesn't happen. So if you have faith in the God you serve, don't worry about what the president says. Don't worry about what the Supreme Court votes. He controls it all in His time. You hear what I'm saying? Well, Craig, what if? You don't what if. Either the revelation is true or it isn't. Either God wins or He doesn't. Which do you buy into? Because when you whine and complain and worry about all the stuff that's going on out there and woe is me, you act like you don't serve someone who comes out on top. So go into this decade waving a flag that says, hey, you can pick a side. I choose Jesus. Wave that flag. Wave that flag. While you're at it, politics may come at you. Finances may come at you. Bitterness may come at you. Problems may come at you. But He says, let me give you one little piece of advice. Stop yelling at each other. He said, you're out there in your churches with all of the oppression coming from Jerusalem and coming from the politics, and instead of you raising your prayers and raising your talents and raising your gifts to fight the enemy, you're squabbling with one another. Stop that. That part's easy. James goes, can't we all just get along? There's enough garbage out there, church. Come on. There's enough garbage going on with people who don't know Jesus. The people who know Jesus need to hold hands and love each other. And don't judge. Well, Craig, that gets into a whole nother thing. Don't judge. I got to tell them I want to keep them from doing wrong. Doesn't listen to me. Let me help you out with what this is talking about. As an example of the patience, look at those who came before you. We count it as blessed. You've heard of Job and the Lord is full of compassion and mercy, all right? And then he says, he goes to that thing about don't swear to God. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, not only do you need to stop grumbling and fighting among yourselves because we're all on the same team, he's saying you need to have some integrity among yourselves too. And when he says don't swear, it's got a twofold meaning behind it, okay? When they swore back in the scriptures, here's what was going on. They were saying, well, I swear to God, or may He smite me, Almighty Smiter, all right? You're saying, because I'm putting this to God, He can smite me down if I don't do it. James says, can I just say don't do that? And I'm not saying don't do that because it's bad for God. I'm saying don't do that because it's bad for you, all right? Because if you say to the Almighty, if you screw up, he can smite you, we've already established back in, all of Scripture, that you're going to screw up. So the smiting cometh. So stop bringing it on yourself. I got a little King Jimmy on that one, didn't I? The smiting cometh. He's saying, well, stop with all the theatrics about proving yourself. And that's where we get to part two. If you have to prove yourself, you've probably disproven yourself prior. You know when somebody says, I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise I'll be there. Or I swear this time I'm going to show up. When do you say that? After you haven't shown up. I promise I'll get it done. When do you say that? When you haven't got it. I promise it'll never happen again. When do you say that? When it's happened before. That's where they go, let your yes be yes. It should be as simple as that. Y'all know what one of my pet peeves is? I've told you before, but I'm going to tell you again. Jamie can tell you. Most people who have been with me for a year can tell you. I absolutely do not care what it is you say you're going to do. I don't care. Come to me and say, hey, Craig, I'm going to fix your commode. And I'm going to fix your commode by next Thursday. I'm going to say, are you sure? And I'm going to mean it. Yeah, I'm sure. Are you sure you don't need till Friday? Or do you need 2 weeks from Thursday? Nope, I'll have it. Okay, I'll take till Friday just in case. Do you know what I expect? I expect to be able to use my toilet on Friday. I don't expect it on Wednesday. I don't expect it on Saturday. I now expect it on Friday. If it's not done on Friday, what do? I get ticked. If you'd have said it was going to be 4 weeks, do you know what I'd have done? Okay. I'm that simple. It's going to take me 4 weeks. 4 weeks it is. I know that I need to hold it for 4 weeks. I'm ready. But when our yeses are no longer yeses, we have to do things like, I swear, which puts us in a pickle with the person that we swear to and the person who's taking care of the swearing if the swearing comes to not happening. And now we're all vertically with God in a pickle, horizontally with one another in a pickle, and we've done exactly what God has said not to do. All I'm asking you to do is love me and love each other. It's real simple. This is why we should what? Simply let our yes be yes and our no be no. And we all need to work on both. We all need to work on both. One of the biggest problems in society today is that we do not know how to say no. We feel as if we're going to let someone down if we tell them no, especially in our churches. But the bottom line is, I would rather you tell me no than tell me yes and not show. It hurts worse. List your priorities in this new decade. Decide who gets your time. Recognize that you have the same amount of time as everyone else and dedicate that time to your Lord, then to your family, then to those around you, then to your work. And when you run out, start saying no and mean it. On the other hand, some of y'all need to learn to say yes. Well, why don't you serve? Well, I don't have time. You don't have time. You had time to go shopping 13 days in the last month. I mean, really, you have time for what you make time for. And to be honest with you, everybody in this room has the same amount of time that you have. So how come they can find the time? Because they want to. Because they choose. Same reason they can find not just the time, but the tithe. Because they choose to. Some of y'all need to learn to say yes to Jesus first. Not after you get your Verizon full gig plan with your 11, 3 I Spy on the back phone. Not after you get your 2020 Ford SUV vehicle. Not after you buy the Walt Disney World trip. Not after you go on the cruise. Not after. No. First, let your yes be yes. And don't make promises you ain't gonna keep. So it's not quite as random as it seemed at first. And it's a pretty good way for us to jump into the new year. There are precedents set before us by people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Paul, Peter. There are. The Bible calls surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There are people who have run the race faithfully. They made mistakes and continued faithfully to serve their heavenly Father alongside, after Jesus went, the Holy Spirit of God. So here's what he's calling us to do. So, with diligence and with patience, and as you sow, forget all the things that you think you know, think you want, think you need, or expectations that you have, and simply be expectant of what God is going to do because he loves you and he has your best and the best of all those around you in mind if you love him and obey his commands. The blessings, they come. They may not come in the manner that you think they ought come or in the time you think they ought come, but we are promised that they come, and until they come, we are promised that he will be with us even unto the end of the age. And as we wait, we simply run this race together as a group of believers in Jesus Christ, lifting one another up, holding one another accountable, not judging one another, and making sure that we say yes to the things we ought to say yes to, no to the things we should not, and leave the rest of it to the judge who earned the right to be there. That's pretty much what he's saying. And that's what we have for the morning. We only have one more section of James. And so we'll swing on through to that next week. I was driving this morning and I felt led. I know I felt led. I know where I was. I was going down the bypass and Little Caesars was on my right. I was headed to get a cup of coffee and it was very clear to me that I was to do something different this morning than is normal for us. So in just a second, Preston is going to, I trust him, he's going to find some good old, you know, some good song in the back. You know, I'm a Shane and Shane kind of guy, but whatever he chooses is fine. All right, in the back. And he's going to play that song when I say go. All right? And as we close out the year, as we close out the decade together as a church family, here's what I'm sure of. I'm sure there are those of you who are still wondering whether or not you're going to choose Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're doing the church thing. But if Jesus did come back tomorrow, you get left because you don't have a relationship with him. Might want to get that right. Okay? Might want to nail that down. Some of you are just struggling. You're struggling with your family. You're struggling with your church. You're struggling with one another. You're struggling with how you feel. You're struggling with bitterness. You're struggling with gossip. You're struggling with hate. I don't know what you're struggling with. I just don't want you carrying it into 2020. Come leave it. Maybe you know there's others who are struggling in the room. And as a church family, we're going to kick off the year, the decade, the way we want to run the decade, on our knees, together, in prayer. Maybe there's a friend you just want to pray with, and you hope that that prayer keeps going for 365 times 10 times 100, whatever it is, days. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's someone else in the room. I don't know what it is you're called to do. I just know that I was supposed to play a song and open the altar up, and that's how we're supposed to end our year as a church, on our knees, begging forgiveness where we've fallen and asking grace and mercy for the new day and begging for hope for tomorrow. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to thank him. We're going to apologize to him. We're going to gather together on our knees and pray. And it's not going to be awkward. It's not going to be weird. And if you sit there and stare, that's fine. Awkward for you. You want to bring your tithe? Come on. You want to bring your gift? Come on. You want to talk to me? Come on. You want to talk to somebody else in the room? Go to them. But finish praying. Song's going to play. Church is going to pray. Whatever He leads you to do, you come. He's been saying, I'll bring you more. I mean, that's what He does, right? He sings. That's what He's saying. I'll bring you more than a song. I don't know what that is. You understand? For Him, I don't know what that is. But this whole time, I've been praying one word, more. We've been talking for the last month about where we were going after James, and that's the only word we've got so far, more. All right? That this thing that we're doing, that this thing is more. It's more than sitting. It's more than celebrating. It's more than worship. It's more than check writing. It's more than clicking a button on an iPhone. It's more. There's so much more. And you know what? As I was praying it, you know what God said to me? He said, well, what if it's more tragedy? You know what my response was without blinking? Bring it. Bring it. What if it's more pain? Bring it. And I mean it. I don't want it. Are you silly? Are you nuts? I don't want it. But if that's what God brings, oh, bring it. Because do you know what's on the other side of all that? Come on. Come on. You know what's on the other side of the wars that were fought in the Scripture? Innumerable years of peace. Do you know what's on the other side of the pain and strife of the Garden of Gethsemane and the crucifixion of Christ? The salvation of all the universe. So if that's what God's got, bring it. If it's more children, as long as they're not ours, bring it. Now, Si may quit, but you know, we'll pray that one back. All I know is there's more. And all I know is that I've got to find a way to preach that. Get each one of you, whether you're a part of our family or not, but more geared toward whoever wants a part of this, that there's more. And with every more, it's going to be beyond what you can fathom. You can't even fathom what He will do when you beg Him for more. And you obey Him as He gives it. Can't even imagine. And I don't know what that's going to look like over the next 4 weeks, 8 weeks. I don't know. But that deeper water. We're not swimming in the baby pool anymore. We're not splashing around in 1 foot of water, calling ourselves happy and spraying each other and giggling. Deep end, people. Big diving boards. Platforms. Heights we've never been before. Whatever that is.